Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Bless you, Father. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. His unparalleled love, our God, is an awesome God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Lift your hands, church, and bless the name of the Lord. We've come to bless your name, King of kings and Lord of lords. We've come to praise your name, King of kings and Lord of lords. Just go ahead and bless him. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise and we thank you. Because you are the all-knowing God, the all-doing God, the all-powerful God. Thank you for your church that will keep advancing and the gate of hell will not prevail. Thank you for the local church in Nigeria, for the national church, and for the global church at large. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, by the grace of God, tonight I'm going to be strictly teaching. All right, meaning that I'm going to be taking it line after line, precept after precept. Is that okay? Turn your Bibles, please, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's start the reading from verse 10. I'm going to title this teaching, Understanding the Strategies of the Enemy. Understanding the Strategies of the Enemy. And by that means that the aim and objective of this class is to bring us to a point of rounded understanding of how the devil works. Praise God. Are you following me now? So by the end of this class, you are supposed to understand the strategies, which includes method, of execution and time of execution and plans of execution, as laid out in scriptures. And we are going to be looking at these methods one after the other. So let's start our reading, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10. I want to specially celebrate everyone connected with us from all over. God bless you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yes, please. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can you give us this from the Amplified Translation, please? Verse 11, that's our focus. Thank you. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavenly armed soldier. So that ye may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Let's look at it again. Put on the full armor of God, for His precept. Somebody say precept. Somebody say precept. Are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldiers. Meaning that once you understand the precepts of God and you follow His precept, His precept, following His precept, equips you. It harms you. And as you follow His precept, you become like a, you become a heavily armed soldier. So as a soldier, you've got to know how to fight. But you see, beyond knowing how to fight, you need to know how to survive, how to stay alive. So let me give you an instance. I was talking to someone this morning, to one of our pastors. Please come. And I said to him, I said, if you have a captain, right, that is leading armed men, whether a battalion or whatever they call them, the captain's duty is to ensure that that they have a strategy that is powerful enough to make sure that they defeat the enemy, but concerning his men much more, that each man returns back to his family when the war is over. So, it is not enough to fight. You have to know how to win. You have to know how not to be swallowed by this. So when you look at warfare, what comes to your mind is that it is the strength of your artillery that determines your victory, but it's not so. No, that's not the way war is won. Let me even show you a scripture. Everything is in the Bible, the heart of war, everything. Proverbs chapter number 24, please. Proverbs chapter number 24. Let's start the reading from verse 5. Proverbs chapter number 24. Let's start the reading from verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Yes, please. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. How do you make your war? By wise counsel. And in multitude of counselors, there is safety. So there is a Chinese proverb that says, know yourself and know your enemy, and you will never lose a fight. Now, you were in the armed forces now. Yes. Navy, Air Force. Okay. So you can relate more what I'm talking about. Be seated. For by wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. So please pay attention. Look, please. So what you observe is that before a country goes to war, when the war becomes inevitable, they don't just launch out. In fact, please pay attention. The most powerful division of the armed forces, they are strategic divisions. What they do is to sit down and devise the strategies. It doesn't matter how well built those who are going to fight are. The people who are devising this strategy may be as, they may not even have the flesh and they may not look like soldiers. But they must understand the heart of war. If the men that will fight will win, their victory will be known on this table. If they fail at this table, those men will fail in the battlefront. If they miss it at the point of drawing this plan, those who are there will fail. And they will crash. So it is now when they sit down, and what do they discuss? Number one, they study the terrain of the enemy, preferably with map. All right? They sit down, study the terrain, and discuss, if possibly, what are the strongholds of the enemy in those places. Then, can there be a system to flank them? That is, to lure them into a point where the enemy believes that that's all they have. Then they can eat them from other sides. They study what is the nature of the weapon they have. How powerful will that be against us from this vantage point? How far close should our men get to? So when a soldier is going to war, it is not his bullet that preserves him. No, it is the wise counsel. Do you get what I'm saying? It is not the... Soldiers die with bullets still left in their AK-47s. True or not true? Yes. So it is by wise counsel that you make your war. So you need people who... It is difficult to win against an enemy whose weak point you don't know. So first you look for what is the weak spot of this place. What can be our point of entry? What method? And sometimes you see them, even with their heavy weapons, they take their time because everything must go as planned. Let's look at the life of boxers, those who fight boxing. At a point in my life, I was in training for boxing. And one day I looked at the whole thing and I said, no. Maybe later when I've eaten well, I'll come back. Well, let me show you two things. If you are going to beat your enemy, it is not with your fist, it is with your head. And that's why you see that before the fight, they have different face-off sections where they talk and Jumbo Jumbo is telling Jumbo Jumbo and saying, I'm going to blow your head off with the tip of my finger. And that one say, I'm going to blow your face. I'm going to smash you. Say, okay. And what are they trying to, and sometimes they get involved in heated arguments. And the essence of most of those conversations is to get into the head of the opponent. More importantly, the opponent will likely lose to the extent that he's aggressive. You know what that means? Sometimes they say things that will trigger heated emotions. And you see, after the fight, they hug themselves again because the essence has been achieved. They are saying things that will trigger something in this fellow's head, that the fellow will no longer fight from the head, that is from the seat of strategy. This fellow will now fight with emotions. And the moment they can get somebody to fight with emotions, all they have to do is to lay counter ambush. So you see that there are people who are counter punchers. For instance, this guy they call Mayweather. His reflex is so strong. I'm not sure he's lost any boxing match. He's never. Over 50 matches. So, sometimes you see, please come. You are a strong man and I'm sure you can't punch me. But come. Sometimes it is amazing that you see boxers go to fight with strategies like, this fellow wants to knock this fellow out. And most times you find out that the big guy who wants to knock the other fellow out is not throwing careless punch. What he does is to lure the person to come and act weak and but guide vital parts. And this fellow will punch and punch and punch and punch. And when this fellow has gassed out, you fight with your head though. And by that, I'm talking about battles now. But when it comes to the spirit, the seat of strategy is your heart. That's your spirit. When this fellow is gassed out, and you think that this fellow will have outpunched this individual, this fellow they've been punching since, now throw one heavy, dangerous punch. But because this one is tired, it will knock him out. So what makes you a champion is not the number of punches you give, but the number you can withstand. You don't go to war with your emotions, no. You will come back on your shield. You know what that means? When soldiers die, they come back on their shield. There are battle strategies. Are you following what I'm saying here? And that's why you hear fighters talk about game plan. And the game plan, everything about fight and battles required people who are disciplined to stay with game plan. Whatever the game plan is, the coach or the ringside coach, your folks there, their duty there is to make sure that they are cautioning you to stay with the game plan. Sometimes the fighter is becoming aggressive now and all that, but they keep insisting, stay with the game plan. I was watching a match. So I saw a boxer knock the other guy. And when he knocked him, the guy fell down. But the fellow who knocked him down went back. I said, this guy is going to beat this guy. It's a UFC match. So sometimes what believers do is that the moment you seem to have a little form of victory and the enemy seems to be down, then you rush to climb. No, you retreat. Because just when you are going there, you can fall into ambush. So by a wise counsel, you will make your war. And in multitude of counselors, there's safety. So when the Bible says in that Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God. If we're going to pick everything I lighted here, it shows us that every statement mentioned here is part of our own strategy for winning. Number one, wear the whole armor. If you are going to win, wear what part of the armor? A few? How many? All of them. Put on the full armor of God. All right? So that you may be able to successfully stand. Now, if you understand war language, if they are saying put on the old armor that you may stand, it means the fellow you are trying to stand against is going to be constantly advancing. It's going to keep advancing towards you. You've got to stand. But now you are not just confronting an enemy directly. you are confronting his strategies, his schemes, his wiles, his deceit. Let me give you an instance. You know that you can pride yourself as a deliverance minister. And of course, deliverance is very much Christocentric. It's New Testament. Jesus did it. Paul did it. Cast out devils. The word is a tool to make you free. That's soteria. Praise God. And then you can get to a point. Now, let me give you an instance. Do you know you can get to a point where in the middle of every service, somebody just begins to scream, "I will go, I will go, I will go." And you spend bulk of the time in the service saying, "What's your name? Where are you from? Which part of the ocean? Which estate there? Number what? Come out now." And gives you some drama and some drama. "I will get out. I will not go out." And then after spending some 45 minutes, the Spirit says, "Now I will go." Yeah. And you dust your suit and say, "Oh, power, I feel it, my God." You feel what? You were focused on one and made several people predisposed by not teaching them. And at some point, I sat down and I just looked at the church, not Sphere of Light Church. I was not there. Sphere of Light had not started then. I said, I notice every service, it's the same thing. Just while the service is going on, chair breaking, we're spending. It's not economical, it's not good. How will I put it now? There's a word I want to use. We are buying chairs every time. It's like these demons are revenge or something. There, all of you that have broken chairs that they park there, I will show you how they mend chairs with pure water, nylon, iron, and fire. You, once you break it, you buy or you mend. Right there. I'm gonna be a dad, I'm saying. Praise God. And I just found out that it's the same set of people that manifest every service, the same method, and we can't continue like this. So I went to God in fasting. You see, you've got to learn how to go to God in fasting for inquiry to help me to understand stuff. So I picked one of the books of Kenneth Egan, reading in that process also. And I found out that most times what we do is that we exit demons. We don't take care of the door. And as long as we are not taking care of the door, it gets more violent every time. Because these people are not trained, they are not taught in the word. They go back to the same things that open those doors again. Those demons come back and afflict them. And they keep, you keep, see, you've got to know how to fight. And that's why I said, if your esteem is not intact as a minister, the devil does not have to do too much on your matter to defeat you. He doesn't have to do too much. Because he's just going to toy with your ego. And as long as you feel cool, as long as what satisfies you is they fall under the anointing. Falling, they will fall. But freedom, they won't have. Are you following what I'm telling you here now? So I saw that these people need to be taught. So what's the balance? We teach them, all right? We cast out the spirit. We teach them the word of God. We'll let them understand who they are in Christ. Then the authority of a believer over demons. You let them know a believer who is born again, blood washed, cannot be demon possessed, but can be demon oppressed. And then you find out that those devils can't come. Not because you shouted fire, but because you've mounted the defense of the word. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, when you are casting out devils and you are saying fire, which fire are you referring to? Because an average believer just operates with a bunch of keys. You don't know which one opens what door. So you can't duplicate the result. And that's because we are not well taught. We are not well taught. At some point I saw people casting out devils with pure water. Casting out devils with brooms. personal devil, so and so and so. And wet and wet the person. Oh, no, 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 no. Amen. When you cast out a spirit, you don't wait for the drama. Get out. That's where authority comes from. If I tell my gate man to get out of my living room, will I have to wait and say, and I'm saying you should get out? The word has gone out. Obey it. Simple as that. Now demons understand that you don't even know how powerful what you are saying is, so they wait to entertain you and give you some move. And he jade. And he go jade. Amen. Jade. We don't need jade. We don't need jade. Let me call Jesus. We don't need jade. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't need to shout to exit a demon. Get out now. In the name of Jesus. Go. Anyways, let me also give you the balance. So you can understand what I'm saying. At what point do you know you are dealing with more than one spirit? How do you even know these things? That what you are dealing with here is not just a spirit. You've got to know these things. And once you know it, you get result. Sometimes you think what you have said is not working. Meanwhile, you've exited the first. So let me tell you something. When you are dealing with more than one spirit, what you need to know is who commands here. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which spirits are all other ones submitted under? Then you rebuke that one. All the rest will follow him. You deal with the head, the body will fall. So if you are dealing with a legion, do you have to say, number one, Jade, number two, come on, number three, come on, number four, come on, number five, come on, number six, come on. You know who commands. Praise God. By the grace of God, I'm going to be taking many of you for practicals one of these days. And I'm going to sit down with a bottle of Coke and watch you exercise your believer's authority. Nobody can slap you. Nobody can do all those things. No demon has slapped me in my life. Why? I've watched ministers of God receive slap. It's not because I'm more anointed. I just know who I am. Simple. I say, bam, lady. One guy slapped one pastor like that. The man beat his own. Yeah. He just poured the anointing oil on his hand. Come out. I will not tell. He beat his own. Poured his hand. Ugba. Ojo eshanu. We're going somewhere. Say it again, put on the full armor of God. You know what this means? If you are writing an exam and the instruction on that paper is to answer all questions. What does that mean? Alright, it means that you can't just decide to ignore anything. Amen? You answer all. So this curriculum demands that you wear everything. From the point of not wearing everything, you're already ill-equipped. And the devil is not going to ignore that fact. Alright? Now, give me King James of this scripture quickly. So that we can look at it simply. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, verse 12 now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So these are the people we are wrestling against. Look at the categories. I'm going to teach each of these categories. Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see what that rendition says in heavenly places. Wherefore take unto you, please go to verse 13 now quickly. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the evil day, and having done all to stand. All right, you've got to wear all these things, because the people you are dealing with are in Kedars. And the least of that Kedar are princes over provinces, they are principalities. They control the flow of events in territories. Sometimes demonic activity is not just about somebody manifesting something, or what you saw in your Nollywood movies of somebody tying red clothes and all that. Sometimes places where they are wearing suits is more densely populated with demons and influenced with demons more than places where they are tying red clothes. Now you get what I'm saying here. You only discern demons when you go to a family and see people dying. Sometimes they are fine and all is well in quotes, and everybody is doing well, going about their business, and demonic activities are more dense in those places than the places where they are not, where things don't look fine. Because these guys have found a way to operate in a way that will not discern or decode that they are the ones operating. For instance, what is wrong with Nigeria is not just about politicians who are greedy. There is a spirit against the destiny of this nation in the plan of God. So whether you are Lekki or Area 10 or whatever place you call them, as long as you are under the climate, there's an influence. All right, but let me just give you a tip. One of the things you've got to understand, Father help me, is that, okay, let me give you an instance. When you get to an environment and you want to preach, those of you who go for missions and you've gone to an environment, you want to do something. Or for instance, you've gone to a campus with the word of God. How do you just go and just go and start teaching? As you get to new territories, one of the first things you need to discern, which force operates here. And the way you know the principality at work in those environments is that you look at what they do is that they make people identical twins in iniquity. They are in charge of a prevalent heart of sin that is against the plan of God for that place. So you study. Sometimes you get to a place, and let me give you an instance. You have seen an environment where they say the problem of people in this environment is drunkenness. Sometimes in a place, the problem of people from this place is anger. Have you seen that before? I was in a place. I won't mention the place if you like. If you find out, I don't know who told you. That they, one of the ways they eulogize themselves is they say that there are people who drop sword and use their mouth to kill people. That's the way they praise themselves. I couldn't wait to get out of that city. Anybody that carries you is angry. Taxi man is angry. Everybody is frustrated. It's one of the reasons why, don't tell Lagosians. I think that's one of the places, if not the only place in this country, if God say go, I will say, God, I know I've done something, you want to deal with me now, help me. An average Lagosian is angry from 1 p.m. downward. Default mode. One time like that, I went to Obalende years back. And I saw people, I was inside on a bus, they were robbing a woman, opening her bag, strategy. Two were in front, one was by the side, distracting her, two were at the back, opening her bag. And I shout, thief, thief. They say, you don't shout. That they will leave the woman and come after you. Nobody will help you. Ah. I can't sleep well if I didn't tell this woman. And true to it, as I came down, one of them was following me. Ah. A boy was following me. And as he was following me, I looked at him. See, I'm very audacious. I have very serious defense instinct. So I picked some stones I showed him. I showed him. And I continued. I picked some other one. I showed him. I continued. I picked three. I showed him. If I throw one, I won't miss. I won't. No, I won't. The head is big enough. We learnt with lizard. We learnt with lizard in Kano. I won't miss. The guy must have felt that this is a murder man. So he left me. Whatever murder means. He left me. That's not the time to say, hey, the puke you. Oh boy, I will break your head. Yeah. The scripture for you is that blessed be the God who has stretched my hand to battle. I don't know how we got there, but we got there. Praise God. The devil has strategies. Okay, I was talking about environment and how that different spirit conditions the environment. Sometimes it is not just environmental, it is family. And you see that there's a prevalent activity in the family. Girls get pregnant out of wedlock. It doesn't even matter sometimes how disciplined they are. At certain age, that same spirit just comes in and make them have the same misbehavior. So there's a spirit in charge of that activity that is ensuring continuity. And that spirit is reporting to greater forces. So what you see as manifestation is not all the devil is doing. What you see as manifestation is the legal entry point for something bigger. Because we are talking about strategies here. What you see is not all there is. Sometimes, what you see is immorality. But the major activity there is poverty. So, one thing sponsors the other. Are you following me now? Sometimes what you see in an environment is occultism. But that's the entry point. So you don't just discern the entry point. Know what the enemy is doing really. There's something he's doing really. He's strategic. During the Biafra war, at some point, it was like the Igbos were quite almost unbeatable. Because there are people with strong will, ready to fight for themselves and all that. And they were trying to self-determine as a nation, apart from Nigeria. And one of the leading politicians, the very strategic one, Chief Obafemi Awolowo, gave a counsel to the then General Yakubu Gowon. And he said, you are fighting the people and you are feeding them. You can't win. So, they laid siege. Nothing was going into the east. Nothing was coming out. And what the people they couldn't defeat for a while, they were able to defeat them. Because it is the people that hones the strategies that controls the battle. It is the people that hones the strategies that controls the battle. It is the people that hones the strategies that controls the battle. So God is giving us his own strategy. Number one, put on my whole armor. Amen. So we are soon going to go into those hammers, but all right, because you know that this is a teaching that is being repeated. So I've taught into this again and again. All right, and of course we're still going to get there again, but I want to show you a few things. Amen. Who is getting blessed? Are you sure? I want to show you a few things. So I checked for a few strategies that are usually deployed in battles. A few what? Sometimes a strategic nation will not attack the enemy's military. They attack their livelihood. Sometimes the way to bring a nation to their feet, to their knees, is not going to be by throwing bombs or by getting your men to fight. You can just destroy their source of water. And then you bring them to their knees. And there's something also called shock action or surprise attack. You come against them at the time they least expect you. There's also a strategy. So you can check up on many, many stuffs. Sometimes people fake defeat and attack the enemy when they are rejoicing. So you can see a lot of actions. And if you are going to be a fighter, you've got to master strategies. You have to be a good student of the word. See, the way we fight is not just by saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. It's powerful. Alright? That's power of prayer. But that's just one of the ways we fight. There are many other things you have to understand. If not, you will lose again and again. In fact, listen to this. If the devil wants to get a person down, the first thing he attacks is not the aspect he wants to attack. The first thing he attacks is the aspect of his life that communicates to God. So I said to you that when your prayer life is down, the devil is about to be busy with your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you need to understand that in this warfare, all you see or what you see is not all there is or what there is. Have to be skillful. And at some point during our pastor's training, if I ask a question, I don't know if I've asked you before, that if you are walking alone, please come. No, are you in drama department? Let me have somebody from drama department quickly. Come. Okay. Good. And you are walking alone. Can I have somebody else from drama department? You walk from that end. Somebody else from that same department. Quickly, rush down. Okay, come. Okay. You rush. Come down from that end slowly. My friend, come. So, fake, lie down on the ground like someone that have died. Okay. Now, walk past. Now, what do you see? React to this, what you have seen. React, walk again and pass. Okay, that's his reaction. Okay. Now, but hold on a minute. What you find out is that you don't see anybody in their right mind throw party around a body they found on the road that they don't know what killed the person, and this is still fresh. And they don't know if that same thing is lurking around. True or not true? So if you are walking in a bush and you come to a point and you meet somebody gassing out, all right? And the fellow is jacking. Life is leaving the individual and is shaking and dying. Do you wait around and sing and dance and dance? You don't. What do? You run. You don't wait around that place. Because whatever is capable of doing this to this individual may also be capable of doing the same to you. So you don't hang around sight of casualties. And that's exactly what we do. People live life. and get to junctions where mighty men coming from where they are coming from have died. Certain things have destroyed them at that same level, and they get to that place and throw away restraint and dance and rejoice. As if what killed them went on a strike. You don't hang around. You run. So, are you saying, Pastor, you said that there's no provision, warfare, for weapons on my back. We don't turn back. Scripture said, flee, youthful lust. That's not the kind you fight with the breastplate of righteousness. That's not the kind you say you fight with the show of the gospel. You run. While we're on campus, there was a girl I began to mentor. And one time, some boys invited her to their hostel. One guy invited her, and they had a plan. And the guy sat with her in the room and opened his laptop and began to play pornography for her. And they began to touch each other. And he slept with her, and three other guys came and slept with her and began to spread the information. When you find yourself in corners where lust can cripple you and come on you, your activity in that place is not prayer. Your activity there is to run. Why? Because scripture says that she has cast many wounded. Her path is highway to the grave. Look at what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 31, verse 2, quickly. 31:2. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, yet, quickly, verse 3 now, give not your strength to who? Women. Whether you are a woman, give not your strength to men, nor your ways to that which destroys. Please stand up, my friend. So, now, when you look at physical things, it takes something in the physical that inflict pain and sometimes severe certain organs and shut them down to sniff life out of an individual. But the way the strategy of the devil is, on the flip side, something sweet can do the same job. As a matter of fact, it is something sweet that gets it done the most. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is something what? Sweet. So what the devil is using against the person is sweet and interesting. Don't make what killed your fathers become your delight. Never find pleasure around it. See, sometimes all you have to understand is to understand, have knowledge of what the enemy had done. And lock yourself under the mighty hand of God, trusting the Holy Spirit, and make sure that deliberate effort is made to build strength as a countermeasure against those activities. You've got to. You can't hang everything on God's neck and say, it's going to help me to be strong. Are you avoiding it? Please be seated. Thank you so much. You acted well. Please celebrate them. Amen. When you are dealing with a strategic person, nothing is as it appears. Nothing is literal. Nothing. Sometimes you are looking at something and you pause because you know all you see is not all there is. You're a pastor. A young pastor on campus. And there's a girl that whenever she's talking to you, she's come. She's just rubbing your chest. Say, Pastor Joseph, you know, all these things. Eh? And it's triggering a response in you. What you are seeing is a girl who is simple. Okay? But what is that your birthright is being debated for as we speak. What Esau was seeing was a plate of porridge. What was happening in the spirit realm, it was a tipping point. Many people were going to choose the lineage you're going to come from. David, Moses, Daniel,
Jesus. All he was seeing was plate of food. There is more than what you are seeing. And the devil will never allow you to see all. He doesn't want you to know what is at stake. Are you following what I'm saying here? He doesn't want you to know. Let me speak to campus people. Have you been to campuses where it looks like God does not have men on those campuses? Huh? Talk to me. Now, you don't know what I'm talking about. Have you been to places where it looks like all form of revivals happening around young people everywhere? These people are on the other side. You don't, there seem to be no activity here. Have you seen that before? I have. Something is happening. God is too detailed not to give every land their men. But where are your mighty ones? The same thing is crippling them. But each of them think it's just each of them. And there are people that sometimes you have to study. That all who could have become a tool of revival on this campus, they were caught young. Sometimes all they did, all you need to do to enter the trap is to get into a relationship in part one. And that's all. It's going to be so innocent. It can start with accountability. The pastor may know about it. But the same thing that happened to all happens to this individual. So when you check what kills the generals of the past, avoid it now. I did some findings and I found out that nobody without prayer life became anything with God. So I know prayer is a prerequisite. You are saying there must be another way. There's no other way. Start building the muscle now. If when you are in trouble, you are triggered to get every other alternative and God is the last resort, you are in more trouble than you know. All you see is not all there is. When I was on campus, it was a girl. I was just coming around. I've shared the story. It's coming around. Well, all those I knew that got to have an affair with that girl, none of them ever finished. I don't even know how one girl like that can get many people down. I heard the story. I can't remember the story fully. So I'm just going to share the part I remember. There was a mission school that at some point they made a discovery. It was by a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, that there's somebody before that said graduated here that is having an affair, sexual affair, with a sister in this same mission school. Come out now so God can show you mercy. Please pay attention. What I'm telling you is a true story. Over half of the males in that set came out. And when they began to ask them questions, all of them had an affair with the same sister. The same sister. That's the collection bank of callings. The gift and the calling is without repentance, but the called can be wasted and made useless for the calling. The calling is timeless. The call is time bound. You can be wasted while your calling is still intact. It is the calling that God will not repent over, not the called. The called can watch another person do the calling. It is the same thing, bro. Same guys. I know what I'm telling you. The same sister. Now don't tell me that we're in the days that witches don't still attend churches. That's not just our focus. Are you telling me it is innocent for one sister to raid all those number of men? And sometimes all the enemy needs is just once. One of the very, very painful thing about the attacks of the enemy when it comes to his strategy is not just the method, but there's something. The time. The timing. Let me tell you a few things. You have to understand the timing of his attack. But, please hold on. Because the attack is coming from the spirit realm. The manifestation is in the physical. So it is coming from the realm where it is clear what that time is about. So it is not just that you fail, there is a time you should fail. It is not just that Gehazi went to take honorarium that is undue. He took it at the time he should have gotten more portion. So Elisha said, is this the time? It is not just enough that Saul began to offer the sacrifice because they were living. It was because it was at the time that his kingdom should have been established forever. There is no innocent timing in the spirit realm. And that's why one of the best prayers you can pray for yourself is Pauline prayers. That the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. May you always be visible to know what is at stake in every season. Be careful how you tread. There are landmines. There are landmines. Landmines. Confident soldiers die in this war. It is they that do know their God that will be strong. Those that will put their feet where the patriarchs are put. You know, do you know the funny thing is that there are landmines. But don't ignore the ancient landmarks. People have walked before us and they treaded certain paths. We saw that when they tread it, we saw their footprint at the end of the path. Those who did not tread those paths, we see their bodies scattered in the field. So we can tell that if we put our feet where they put their feet in fasting and prayer, we put our feet where they put their feet in study of the word, we put our feet where they put their feet in integrity of heart, we put our feet where they put their heart without strife, no guile, are going to come out. Don't break ancient landmark. Amen. Israel, I can't remember what year, but in 1970 something or so, the 6-day war with Arab nations. And on the 6th day, the last battalion, I can't remember what nation they had, they were facing. And they were passing through a land mine, a field with landmines. Do you know what landmine is? It's just like something like this, but covered with dust. Covered with dust. But if you put your feet on it, you explode. And why they were waiting and they were trying to see how they were going to go, a wind began to blow and exposed the landmines. And they had to wait. Sometimes you can't run. Wait, let the wind blow. The wind bloweth, we hear the sound thereof. We don't know where it's coming from, where it is at. Let the wind blow. Let the Holy Spirit over. It is not every time that speed is an advantage. There are people that the face they have in life and ministry is not the face of speed. It is a face to wait to see the landmines ahead. Don't celebrate speed when you should be waiting. When the wind blew, they saw the landmines and they began to know where not to put their legs. The enemy were not expecting them to survive and come out of there. But because the wind blew. Amen. Some of my boys began to make some small money. and started telling other boys that forget all this religion. All this religion. Don't mind all these things pastors is telling you. Forget all this religion. Blah, blah, blah. And all that. And I called those who have ears. Because the future is bigger than today. It is not today we can tell who have succeeded. Run from these boys. You will not have things to boast of now. Like they will. But oh boy, it's a melo. Draw it and run. Sometimes you can't win. But you need a captain who can tell you, stop, wait, run. It is not every time that a breakthrough is a breakthrough. There are times that breakthrough is break scatter. And that's why if the moment your life is set at an angle of inclination, that anything that looks like the blessing is God's way of endorsing you, you are finished. Sometimes the size of a church is not the confirmation of God's hand in the ministry. The sign might just be them entering where they should never enter. See, if you follow God's method, what you are doing may not be fast, but it will be solid. Let me tell you something. If we want to do it, that this church should have begin to run 3 services out of pressure, what should we do? Organize 1 comedy night. And somebody will come here and joke with holy things of scriptures. And put the poster around town. And they will say, Pastor Femi Lazarus is waking up. Are you aware that if I begin to do all those things, based depending on the level you are, when it gets to your level, you will praise me. Sometimes you've got to do it slow and the hard way. Then it becomes strong. I have sons who are running different Christian social media pages. Ask any one of them if I will ever call them and say, you are not pushing my content. If my content bless lives, let it move. Because the moment you are the one pioneering how far or how slow, you will not know when God has left. Don't let me talk into that area. Let's leave it. See, I have zero pressure. Zero. One time like that, myself and my friends were talking about a guy. In one country. This guy does not have speaker, does not. There's, he's just normal person. But every condition, you will see people whose leg has bent before your eyes, recording with quad cameras. Now, on the street, it will stretch. Eyes gone. You will see it back, they will see. And when you check this guy's video on YouTube, you see 17 views. 13 views. Ah! I said, no, it's not about this thing, boy, forget it. Stay with the substance. This generation where ministry is starting on Facebook, you will not know when it's not God calling you and endorsing you. Go and check. This Facebook thing, I went away from this thing for how many years? Yes! Our ministry posted on Facebook for the first time that we're having a program. Okay, 2017. First time. We just stayed on the ground and be drilling, raising, prayer, drilling, raising men, prayer, drilling, raising men, prayer. If it is God lifting me, when he leaves, I will know now.
I think I've said too much. Now, let me warn you. You are not destiny broker. You don't know who is going far or who is not. Don't do it fast. Do it well. Now, please, let me give you the balance of what I'm saying. Many of you may be under pressure. When the noise has gone down, another set of soldiers with another formation will rise. One of the things that humbles me is that I've taken time to study the move of God. And I found out that sometimes those who are spectators, when some people have begun to function, can be the one that will come and coach those who have been functioning before them. Because they have observed, they've learned, they've stayed longer and watched their mistake and observed all those and avoided all those things, and they'll come and coach them. So I don't prioritize speed. It's beautiful. If you come to my office to see me, what determines how we relate is what I discern about your heart. And I will never sit down and shake a minister and say, "You are welcome to my..." I always stand up. We are colleagues. Even if you say you want to come and learn from me, we are colleagues. I celebrate you. How did you do it that your church has grown this much? How did you survive the season that you were small? I didn't know the season that was small. I didn't know. I've just been moving with God. Grown so big, have we? So I don't have any curriculum to give you. If I was the one who did it, maybe I would have. We just keep trusting God. Am I the one that come and ring bell on your door and say, "Come to church on Sunday"? It's only sons and daughters I can stay on their neck and say, "You must be in church." That's my jurisdiction. From the moment you say, "You're my spiritual father." In the days you don't understand, I can understand. You get what I'm saying now? Of course, stewards, ministers. Please sit down. How to marry the will of God for your life, 101. Yes, of course, there are scriptures that shows that. But I will not lie and give you a strategy when what I encountered at that junction was mercy. When I met my wife, what spoke for me at that junction was mercy. After we got married, I sat down with God. And I began to highlight before him. These are aspects of my life that was not cooperating with your mercy, but your mercy found me. Thank you. It is important I highlight this and let the flame of his presence help me with them. Because don't think the enemy is dead when he's asleep. Sometimes your problems start from the point you begin to take responsibility for what mercy did. See, if you ask me a question, if I don't know it, I'll tell you I don't know it. I have zero worry about somebody seeing me as somebody who doesn't know it. So they will go and listen to other preachers. Let the person go. I don't have. It's not part of my headache.
Because number is not a sign of endorsement to me. What is my heart like before God? Do my heart still tremble at His presence? Does my heart still cringe if I veer out of His ways? When He knocks and rebukes me on something, do I still tremble before Him? Am I still as small as I was in my eyes the way He found me? These are the yardstick for measuring progress. Because it was God who spoke to Saul through Samuel. He said, did I not make you king, captain over my people when you were small in your own eyes? So I found out that one of the challenges I even have is that everybody knows that this man is something except me. The daily yardstick I have is my daily walk. Am I better today with God than I was yesterday? So that's why I said that a man who doesn't mind doing this work with 10 naira is a dangerous man. And in the same light, I trust God for His blessings, because that's the balance. I believe in divine prosperity. But if I have to abase, so I stay. That's it. Are you following what I'm saying here? I was coming from a meeting, my tire went flat, I trekked. I was carrying my bag there. Myself and the pastor told me, at night, some weeks back, trekked, jumped on Okada. Not a worry. Do I have money for bike when God found me? Talk less of car. So all the things that would have looked like an Isaac, the moment they come, I let God know. And I tell Him, you know this thing belongs to you. You can test me with it now by saying, let it go. So when you give me envelope, I put it somewhere and say, you are the owner. Indicate, Lord, what is your interest on this matter? Am I free? Or I put this. Sometimes He tells me, okay, all those envelopes, round everything up now, give them as your offering. Yes, Lord. Very, very interesting work. I have no business. I have parted ways with the things that people use as yardstick for measuring doing fine long ago. Parted ways with it. So I can leave this place and go to a village and pastor well and still post picture online. And this place was all full of dust and everything. We're doing open air worship here and live streaming. Now, I don't know how to be politically correct. Maybe at your level, that's not where you should be posting. Can God come there? Then we can release it. Just believe. The moment you are sold out to God, every aspect of your life becomes a tool to be used. Even your process becomes an encouragement to people coming. And to this effect, I don't know the minister of God that is watching me online. And God said to tell you, don't take that loan. I leave it there. Let's assume the person is not there. Okay. So I'm going to stop here. And I'm going to pray. I don't want to take the... because we have prayer meeting tomorrow morning, so I want to stop here. Sometimes, before you get into this battle, there are... have you seen people... look up. That people want to fight. All these area boys. And before the fight begins, they will carry bottle. Huh? They will break it. And they stab themselves. So when they do that to themselves, you know. This person will not hesitate to bleed you out. So what do? You run. Because even hunger bows before madness. Sometimes you notice that your Isaac is becoming a problem between you and God. By yourself, dragging. Let the devil wonder, to God. Drop it there. I don't know how serious you are, Sha. One of my first challenges as a pastor was that it took me time to discover that the strength with which I lead people, I am very quality control conscious. It doesn't matter where any man is coming from. I believe everybody should have the same process. It took me time to find out that not everybody intends to go that far with God. So I lost my head many times, faced insult and ridicule. So I had to choose between gathering crowd who are going nowhere or choosing to maintain the quality. And then those who pass through, will pass through. At a point in your life, if you are called to ministry, you'll have to make that choice. And the rating of every ministry before God is the level at which the product from that ministry is a blessing to the general body of Christ at large and not part of the problems. It's not the size of your church. There are people who have 20 people in their church and they are better builders than those who have 1,000. You get what I'm saying? So all this pressure, let me warn you, please don't be under pressure. Okay? Don't be under what? Now, sometimes if pressure is coming, just in every generation, you will have people in front, right? You'll have people behind, right? You have people at your level, right? It's not true. Once you believe that, then you will fall. What happens is that in every generation, you have people where God has put them, period. Nobody is in front, nobody is behind. They are where God put them. I am not in front of anybody because we have some branches. I am where God has placed me. Once you have this basic understanding, the devil has nothing on you. Stay with it. Bow your head, everybody. And first, thank God for the privilege he's given you to be a part of a process like this, to learn. To learn these things early. Bless God for it. Alright. Then pray that God helps you all through your life to apply these things you're learning. Be a part of it. Please pray. In Jesus' name we're praying. Alright. Now, look up. One of the dangers of pressure is that pressure truncates destiny. Alright, and that's why I said that this generation needs people who have been called to quality control department. And I believe that in this season of my life, I fall to that category. That sometimes it is a kind of message and a kind of method that is trending. And people have been called to different departments to teach, to pastor. There are people who have been called to pastor. People have been called to teach. And they may not use all the charisma and all those things. But many will leave the tool given to them for their generation and pick other tools. And by the time God could have said, hear ye him, they are nowhere to be found. And that's because people keep comparing themselves with themselves and become fools. Comparison is one of the roots of ministerial deviations. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, when ministers of God are doing meetings, are you following what I'm saying here? And there's something that we know to bless us. My wife and I will sit with it. Follow, get blessed. Alright? And bless God for the ministry. But there's no pressure to repeat it. God wants that aspect done. So he empowered somebody for it. He wants this aspect done. Then he graced me for this. Now, if you see upon my life that there is operation of the spirit of wisdom and all that, it doesn't make me higher than somebody who has the operation of power. We have just been given tools for our unique jobs. So if I tell you that it's not about fire, it's not about fire, fire, fire every time. The people who are aware they are shouting that fire, that's what they need in the curriculum of God for their life for that season. And I can't go into all these things. There's nobody in front. There's nobody behind. People are where God wants them to be. But there are those who have gone ahead of us as fathers. So scripture says that we follow them who have true faith and patience. Do you see the way God rates those we should follow? When you look at their life, you must see a pattern of waiting to trust God for what he wants to give them. Faith. They must see a pattern of patience. That there was a time they were waiting and they didn't get it. If I can see a result without process, I will not honor it. And this thing has made a part of the Nigerian church susceptible to witchcraft. Because it's the spirit of haste. Pastors want to start church now and gather 1,000 members. Let's rise and pray. Father, I want to thank you for all your children. I want to thank you. I commit these ones to your hands, that you will help their hearts and minds, that they will not fail you. They will trust on you. They will not disappoint you. Your mercy will keep these ones unspotted from the evil that plagues this generation. I rebuke the spirit of haste. I rebuke pressure. God will help you wait on him. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the body of Christ at large, that you will help this generation. It is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me tell you a secret. Do you know that all these things I'm teaching, a time is coming, no matter the number of people you feel are listening to it now, that God is going to call the attention of an entire generation and say, go and hear it. But I have an obligation to stay with it and compile it up as a track record. So in those days, there's more than enough that God has built for that generation to hear. We are not here by pressure, sir. Stay with it. Praise God. God will keep you. Have you been blessed tonight? Give God a big hand.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.